Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
We're back. Midweek.
We're back. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
I'm Ben Gracewood, super hyper podcast dude.
I'm Dylan Reeve. I'm still here.
Dylan's still here because we've released another special episode of Discourse 2.03B or 203.X or whatever this ends up being. We had a 1 hour episode and we're very proud of that. But then we actually did manage to get in touch with beloved friend of Discourse, Kyle Von Rando, who is currently up at in San Francisco at Apple's WWDC.
And
live and direct. And even though it was 2:30 in the goddamn morning, we managed to rope him into talking to us a little bit about you know, what was announced, what the experience is like up there, and how badly wrong a drinks order can go.
And anyone can be, they can be that good humoured at that time in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know. The guy's superhuman.
Yeah. And after what must have been a really intense day, right? Lots of new information. Yeah. But dude is sharp. Dude is, must be one of the sharpest people.
He's high on Apple. That's what it is.
Onto the call.
So I don't remember exactly how we started talking to him, so this might be all clumsy. Maybe I'll just play a little bit of music and then we'll crack right into it and it will all seem very, very off the cuff, because really it was.
Top stuff.
All right, and now
it's called Discourse 2.03B Mango Lion.
Mango Lion.
Ultimate Home Premium Edition.
Okay, and and here's Carl, probably right after a little bit of music. Dear listeners, we're now joined unexpectedly after the whatever the final bell by a beloved friend of the show, former co-host, new chief San Francisco bureau correspondent, Kyle Von Rando in San Francisco at WWDC. Kyle, are you reading me?
Good evening, Morgan.
The evening is good. I bet the evening there is even better. It's actually 2:30 in the morning there, I understand, at the time of recording.
That's great. Yep.
Very sorry about that. So what was announced today? Were you at the keynote, and what's been going on?
Yeah, I was at the keynote. I managed to sneak into the queue, which was sort of wrapped all the way around the building by spying some friends and stopping and pretending to chat.
Oh, just like primary school.
Just long enough that everyone had forgotten. What?
Just like primary school. No, just me. Okay.
Thanks for being involved, Dylan.
Yeah.
I used to cut into queues in primary school.
Option Dylan just costs us like a minute in turnaround time. I hope you realize that.
See, ACT have been complaining about labor costing $400,000 an hour while they try and prevent really dodgy legislation being passed. What ACT should know, actually, is that every time Dylan talks, it costs Discourse over $600,000 a minute. This is an expensive show, Dylan. Yeah. We've got literally some listeners, okay? And every minute that you waste of their valuable time, you know, sitting on the bus having a pie, that's money down the drain, money that they'll never see again. And in an economy like this, Dylan, that's really cruel of you. That's money that could have bought shoes for their children.
So I'm going to interrupt. Carl, you've traveled all the way to San Francisco. You know, on your dime, it's cost you a lot of money. You're staying in a really expensive hotel. You're away from your friends and family and children. And all you got was a keynote full of blatant copying of many other platforms. How do you feel about that?
I guess the questions that I prefer are the sort of the more weighted questions. But, you know, I decided quite a long time ago that I don't think that being afraid of being thought of as copying is a good rationale to not build upon, you know, to not stand upon the shoulders of giants, or in this case, to kind of, I don't know what you'd call them, but you know, standing kind of near them maybe in a queue. But, you know, that I guess you're talking about the Android notification thing sliding down from the top. And, you know, if that's a good gesture to do it, go ahead and do it. You know, I'm one of those people that gets annoyed when Android can't use the pinch gesture because Apple have got all sensitive about it. I think that, you know, Apple came out with it first. They've done the best job with it. Everyone else should be able to use it now, and you know, so that we can move forward and advance the whole platform. So yeah, so no, that doesn't bother me at all. I was really excited by everything they'd done, and I think it's almost you know, Apple's actually been a bit different from how they've previously been in recent years. You know, Apple used to always, when they came out with the first revision product, it used to always be rubbish. And you had to wait till the second or third revision, but then they came out with the iPhone, and it was astounding. Yeah, that was kind of different. And Apple also, you know, they often do the thing where, you know, other people do something, and Apple kind of sit around and don't do it, and then they come out and they've thought about it really hard, and they do it really well. So I think, I don't know. There's bits of everything in this.
There was some of the second revision stuff being better with iPhone as well, because the App Store came along with version 2. Also, this pinch thing, I didn't know I couldn't pinch on my Android. I can certainly spread on my Android. I do it every single day. In my every morning, my regular visit to mobihun.com. if I couldn't do my little spread gesture, I'd be a much sadder little masturbator.
Sorry, what was that site? I'm just loading that up.
Turn on thumbnails as well, because some of that stuff is no good. Also, if it says something like a pair of bodybuilders going at it, they probably mean two dudes, because they mix the gay and the straight stuff all into one category. That's Mobihun, MobiHun.com. It's got the yellow background.
Sponsors.
What was
message.
That word that you said beginning with P?
Prawns.
I don't know what the word was. I said beginning with P.
That's terrible.
another question. Right.
So, you know, there was an awful lot of exciting stuff though that's quite new.
The iCloud stuff.
I was going to say. Well, I was saying. Well, you know, iCloud stuff. I think the most interesting thing about that was the relationships that they've obviously struck with the new. That's pretty exciting that those guys have kind of come to the party, and I think the solution's pretty good. You know, as a user, I'm looking forward to using that.
But have they come to the party? I mean, I don't understand. If I've hypothetically stolen a whole shit ton of music, and I then you know, somehow get a US iTunes account and music match it, and then have in the cloud copies of all that stuff, I don't then for $25 a year own the license to all that music, surely.
You know what? I actually wouldn't be surprised if you sort of do, because if you think about it from the music company's point of view, they all know that people have previously, you know, stolen a bunch of music because it was the easiest way to do it. And they get zero from it. And if you think about those streaming services, like, you know, the streaming services aren't that much more than 25 a year. Like, I think there were some of them that were, you know, a couple of dollars a month or something like that. So actually, maybe getting $25 a year is a good deal.
So I have a thing, though. Then won't it destroy, if that's the case, then won't it destroy the iTunes store? Because why would I even buy a track off iTunes if all I needed to do was to go to the Pirate Bay, download the album, stick it on my computer and sync it up with iCloud, and then I'd be...
But that's
I'd
all,
have them
that's
all
you
and I'd
needed
be all
to
legit.
Do anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, now not only do I have the music, I also have it legitimately in my iTunes, and all my iTunes computers can do it, and I never have to buy anything from the store again.
You know,
but you can already get it in your iTunes because it will sync any music, you know, from whatever source, MP3s,
yeah, sure,
MP3s or whatever.
But now I'm all legit.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that just doesn't happen, because the people who are buying music on iTunes have long ago decided that it's just easier to click the button and you pay some money and you're done.
Yeah, better than free. I'm a big fan of that concept, but I don't know. It just seems weird if suddenly it makes it legal just because you can sync it up. Then, you know, I would have thought you just go out and download the album and then it's all good. I don't know.
It's meant to be for ripped music. So I wonder if, you know, it will only accept certain types of encoding, or whether it will only accept things that have been ripped using iTunes.
Yeah.
Maybe iTunes is a thing to know whether you...
Or whether you'd actually play on that suspicion that if you upload a track which has been downloaded, that you might get fingered for it, because, you know, they can look at it and go, oh, that's interesting. You know, the comment says downloaded from Demonoid.
And the ID3 tags, yeah.
Is anyone else thinking that the RIAA is going to cold finger the dodgy downloaders?
Well, of course, you could pull the hashes of the stuff, of the popular stuff on there as well. I mean, it wouldn't be hard to identify the popular pirated albums. You just put the hashes of those files on there.
Yeah, but see, I don't think that's going to happen, because I don't think that this is about piracy. I think, you know, all of these things that Apple are doing in music are, you know, basically saying, look, we know that some people are going to pirate, but we're going to make it so good that you give up pirating because you don't need to. And I think I support that kind of point of view in software sales and music sales and all these kind of things that, you know, everyone will come to the party eventually.
It's the way it works. It's the way to fix it.
All right. Mm. Anyway, I wish that something better was being done with games, because there's Steam and so on, which is good. But every time I buy a legit game, I get fucked over with more and more DRM that, you know, is in the case of Sony. Sometimes it's a rootkit. Sometimes that's who knows what. Something that makes your computer less stable. Another way for them to require your private personal information just because you want to play a goddamn World War II game. So I would really like to see more done along the lines that Apple have been doing with sorting out bloody PC gaming. I wish they would, because that's one area where I've changed from really an unrepentant little thief when I was a teenager to buying every single game I play. And I can't really imagine not buying games now.
Absolutely.
But I feel like the experience is much worse when you buy than when you download. I mean, if you download a game, it just installs and runs. If you buy a game, you've got to put the disc in every time you play it. You've got to do all the updates. You've got to register for things to play. And
it's like that DVD thing as well, with the, you know, the unskippable piracy warnings.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, Carl, I did make one point in the show before you came on, that it does feel, iOS 5 does kind of feel like a tidy-up release, adding a few things that they just know they have to. The Messenger thing to compete with BlackBerry Messenger, notifications, Twitter integration, that sort of stuff. It doesn't feel like there's anything particularly groundbreaking in there.
That's interesting. I think iOS 4, from a development point of view, was a massive milestone.
Because the resolution change.
Yeah, once they'd released iOS 4, you didn't want to build apps for iOS 3 anymore, because iOS 4 was like, from a developer's point of view, it was kind of the 2.0. It was a new platform, and it was pretty exciting. But iOS 5, I suppose you could say that, but in a way, it's also a 2.0 kind of feel, because it's the first time that they've changed their core apps, and they've changed what Apple says is the core purpose of the device, right? Like, you know, the apps that Apple put on it are what they say this is what the device is for. So, you know, they put a phone on it, it's a phone. They put the SMS app, you know, so it's an SMSing phone. They put the iTunes app, so it's music. They put, you know, all these things, so they tell you what the core of the device is, and now they've augmented that with a few of these other things, like the, you know, the reminders and the various pieces.
And the other thing is, they got this amazing groundbreaking technique of using the volume button as a secondary feature to activate the camera shutter. I mean, I've never heard of that being done before.
Yeah, that's definitely not original, but it's I think if anyone who's ever, you know, if you use an Android phone, and if you stop yourself laughing for a minute, you actually notice that they've got a camera shutter button on it. And it's great. I mean, you know, doesn't it?
No, mine doesn't either.
That's even worse than useless.
Yeah, it is. Throw that shit, it's really frustrating. My camera's a piece of shit, and it takes forever to take a goddamn photo.
Yeah,
but so, you know, mobile phones have been, you know, I mean, like, I think you know, Steve Jobs was saying, showing a graph of your camera usage on Flickr.
Yeah.
And, you know, the iPhone 4 is, you know, by the looks of that graph, days away from becoming the most popular camera on Flickr. You know, these phones are all about photography. You know, photography is photography is a major thing you do with them. So I think it makes sense. It makes sense to have a little bit of a concession to cameras in the form of a button. Yeah. And I think, you know, those volume buttons, the volume buttons, especially the ones on the 4, are because the ones on the previous phones didn't make sense. You know, they were a toggle, which was clearly an up down.
Yeah.
But the buttons on the 4, you know, being two separate buttons. That makes perfect sense. I'm excited.
That's absolutely right. And actually, I would say they even go further than just emphasizing photography. They also emphasize video. Dear friend of the show, former co-host, and friend of most of the, if not all, of the current the panel on the show right now, Darren Wood, made a short film for this year's 48 Hours Short Film Comp using an iPhone 4 as his camera.
He wasn't the only one. So yeah, it looked
amazing.
Well.
And it looked really amazing. And his Heat, which was 10 or 12 shorts, I would say it probably had the best picture out of any of them there. And so, I mean, it's no surprise, really, that the iPhone is so popular on Flickr. And that's been something that was inevitable. Watching the graph, it's come up every now and then as it bypassed, you know, certain other categories of cameras, like the day it became more popular than all Canons combined or whatever, or more. You know, they've really done a great job with that camera.
But hey, Carl, I was being a bit obtuse there, but as having, you hear these stories about guys that wrote apps that now they're now subsumed. Like if you wrote a localized to-do app, you're now, you know, there's no point now because it's built in. But you know, you did put camera shutter. I mean, when I saw those buttons, I thought the same thing. When I saw the camera buttons, I thought, man, they've got to open up the API so people can use those for other things. You used it for Camera Plus's shutter button. Are they going to open that API now? And so two things. One, how does it feel to be kind of poo-pooed on? And the other is, if you can talk about that, and the other is will there be access in the API for those buttons for everyone else?
You know, the API and all that stuff is under NDA, so we can't really talk about that. I think the thing that we can talk about is this idea, and you know, this has been big on Twitter today. The idea that, you know, Apple's kind of, you know, it's called Sherlocking, I believe, because you know, I think the original when Apple added the Sherlock search to OS, was it OS 8? Was it OS 7? I can't remember.
Some guy hadn't added it.
Yeah, exactly, and they put him out of business. But basically, and you know, and this happens every year, and it's obviously, you know, it's a bit of a disaster if you've just invested a whole lot of time into you know, an app, or you've been building up this business for years, even. And I guess you know, similar sort of things happened when iPhoto added Flickr integration. You know, the guy that had made the Flickr uploader for iPhoto was suddenly like, oh, you know, there goes my small there. You know, this is the only piece of software that I do, and now it's useless. But And there's been, you know, in today's announcements, there are several things. So, you know, the reading list feature in Safari, so you can be reading a page and you say, oh, I want to read that. No, I don't want to finish it now. I'll read that later. You bookmark it, throw it in your reading list, and then it syncs to all of your devices. You know, and that's basically Instapaper, which is a Marco Arment's, you know, product, which, you know, which is reasonably well known. And, you know, on some level, yes, it does. I mean, it does replicate the functionality of that, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was damaging to his sales. But it also serves to legitimize the genre in a way. So, you know, what Apple often do is they take an area like bookmarking something and reading it offline, and, you know, like this. So it's something that other people are doing. They take it, they do it really simply. They you know, they put a nice interface on it. They integrate it really nicely, but they don't pursue any advanced, you know, some crazy advanced features. You know, a little bit like, well, you know, iPhoto doesn't do a whole lot of advanced stuff. It just does what it does really nicely, and it therefore leaves room in the market for these other apps to do, you know, to do that little bit extra. And you know, people still buy them because it's not like you're spending $20 to get them. You're just spending $4.
Yeah. And Camera Plus, I think, is at no risk of from the built-in app, because the built-in app might camera app might do cropping and brightness now. But I mean, Camera Plus does a whole lot of other amazing stuff, and I think that okay, so lots of people who may have got Camera Plus before because you know they didn't have anything, they're still going to be the best app, right?
Yeah, well, this I think the biggest thing which is of interest for Camera Plus is we've tried to be the photo app that you use, the go-to app. So whenever people say, "Oh, I moved Apple's camera app off my home screen and replaced it with Camera Plus," like that's kind of been a success story for us. Awesome. And now what they've done, I think, I don't know if you saw that on the lock screen, they've added a camera button so that you can you can pull the phone out of your pocket, press the camera button, and then just take photos. And if you've got a pin lock on your phone, you don't even have to unlock it to take photos. Like that, I get the feeling that we may not be able to hook into that.
Right.
And I think,
I doubt it, yeah.
That was what I was gonna ask, if you'd be able to hook into that.
I don't know, and probably with the state of the non-disclosure, I wouldn't be able to talk about it if we did know. But I also get the feeling that we won't be able to.
Yeah. Well, who knows? It's a great app regardless, and you're still going to have heaps of users because the reviews are still glowingly positive. And I mean, if everyone said before that it was the best app amongst the others that go further than the new Apple one, then they're still going to say it's the best one, because I mean, judging by the reviews, it's friggin' amazing. I'm just sad I don't have it on my Android, though. On my Android, as I said before, I have a really fucking shitty camera. So now tell me,
not really able to do it on the Android.
I'd like to know about the kind of the social side, the experience side of traveling up to WWDC as an Apple developer, as an Apple user and fan. I know that you've been up there, I think, the last two or three years. So I mean, tell me what's the experience like to actually be there on the ground, coming from New Zealand?
Everyone's downloading the new SDK, so this is a pretty bad connection. Did you say what's it like on the ground?
Yes. Yep, that's exactly what I said. dead air, somebody kill it. What's it like at WWDC coming from New Zealand, where we don't really have events?
What I'm going to do is I'm just going to start talking about 20 seconds before I think you're going to talk, and we're going to segue just beautifully. It's really cool. There are thousands of people. It's way too crowded. I couldn't get into the. How do you call it? Oh yeah, rude, and skip into the line to get into the keynote. Thanks Robert for getting up at 5 a.m. Yeah, I didn't. He doesn't know that I got up at. I mean, I actually got up at 6, but I'd ordered room service, so I had breakfast and I sat down, had a, read the paper, and then got up at 7:30 and went down to join him in the line and take advantage of his good work. But on the ground, people are pretty thrilled to be here, and there's a standing ovation for Steve in the when he comes onto the stage. I think one of the biggest differences this year than previous years is that previous years we've arrived here and we've already seen iOS 4. They announced iOS 4 like in March, so by the time you came to June with WWDC, you'd had 3 months to have a look at everything that was going to be new, and to learn about it, to work out what questions you wanted to ask, or all these sorts of things. Whereas today, basically, the first day is the keynote, which is which is public and that you can talk about, and then there's various other sessions which basically are generally talking about the platform as a whole, and just giving you the whole picture, so going into all of the detail some of the detail that you didn't see in the keynote, and which means that you come out of the event today, and you got going in tomorrow with suddenly, Steve gets up on stage and goes, "How 1,500 new APIs in iOS and 3,000 new APIs in Lion," and all I see is, shit, there's a lot more stuff that I don't know now. And so I think it's going to be a bit of kind of shell shock, a little bit of quite a lot of excitement. There'll be a lot of people who have downloaded the tools and ruined their computer or something like that. You know, people are excited, and at this time of night, a bit rowdy.
Yeah, I really love that excitement, that enthusiasm. That's something that no other platform really seems to have fostered in its community. So I mean, it's I mean, more power to them. I might not, you know, agree with them. but it's wonderful to hear kind of the hooting and the happiness amongst the little nerds.
I'm going to take that that this time of night comment as a hint. And should we let you go, Cal?
Oh no, man! I actually woke up this morning at 3 a.m. and I couldn't go back to sleep. So in another 13 minutes, I'm going to have basically clocked it, and hopefully I'll be able to. Be able to sleep a little bit more.
And at that point, I think
it's terrible not being able to sleep. Morgan, you're kind of a bit insomniac sometimes, eh?
Yeah, that's right. I have delayed sleep phase syndrome, which in some ways it's harder to deal with than insomnia. In some ways, it's better. It means that I still want to sleep, but every night I want to sleep at a later point, which means that. I mean, lately I've actually been getting to bed about 5 in the morning. But, I mean, I'm still wanted at work in the morning. But I've got an understanding employer who lets me float in a bit later than normal. But I'm glad that I don't have insomnia because I can sleep. It's just I can't sleep at the same time every night, which is it's a huge pain. It's a huge, huge pain. Yeah, so I understand horribly.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah, I understand that. It's like my circadian rhythm is like everyone else is like 24 hours or whatever, and mine's like 24 hours and 30 minutes, which doesn't fit in a day. And then add to that.
I think that's pretty strange. Maybe I don't know what to recommend.
There's not a lot. Probably I could exercise more.
Herbal tea.
Well, that probably wouldn't work.
Magnets.
Magnets. The thing that makes it even worse is that I suffer from pretty terrible night terrors sometimes, which I've learned to deal with. Most people, I think, when they have a terrible experience in their dreams, part of it is that they're frozen in place and they can't move to respond. I don't have that problem anymore, I guess, because I've had so many nightmares. But what this means is that my movement actually translates into the real world. And so I find myself, you know, mainly just in the bedroom, you know, sitting up or moving around, or, you know, I wake up standing in the wardrobe or, you know, elsewhere in the house. But that disruption when I finally do get to sleep and then suddenly there's friggin' things crawling around on the bed. It's a double whammy, man. I tell you what, fuck that for a joke. It's great to travel though because it means if I travel west and then keep traveling west or just don't stay very long, then the time zone change actually means that I go to bed at the same time and I have a really great experience because I don't have jet lag in the morning. Yeah, it depends on how far I travel there.
It's going to be quite pricey.
Yeah, it's going to be pricey traveling every day another hour further.
I don't seem to get jet lag anymore. I think it's pretty easy coming to the west coast of the United States because it's only 5 hours. So, you know, you couldn't really tell whether you're just a little bit tired or jet lagged.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess, you know, I say that when I'm sitting up at 3 a.m. after having been up since 3 a.m. And no, nothing to see here, bro. I'm fine.
I think you're well practiced through having a couple of kids. I'm sure that parents probably deal with all that sleep stuff much better. Whatever coping mechanisms you develop.
Absolutely true. I before I had kids, if I had to get up in the night and do something and go back to sleep, I was screwed. But now it's just simple. Yeah,
I do fall asleep in the lounge sometimes,
which is what's so strange about waking up at 3 o'clock and not being able to go back to sleep because I'm exactly the same. I can just get back into bed and go straight back to sleep, but for some reason I couldn't.
I got a question. You know,
maybe it was the booze.
You know, you say about this. That'll be it, and everything else. You know, you say about the standing ovation. Do you find that seems to me to be the absolute personification of the whole Apple fanboyism thing that some people see as a dirty word and some people quite embrace? It seems weird to me because I know I've, you know, in my field of expertise, television post-production, Apple launched or sort of previewed a new product recently. And at the end of it, which would never happen for any other manufacturer, but at the end of it, they got a standing ovation, which is completely, no other post-production company get the standing ovation after announcing a new product. It was quite strange.
It's because they're all boring, whereas Final Cut 10 looks absolutely jaw-droppingly amazing.
unless you want to work on it day in, day out, and make a living. But anyway.
Why is that?
I think...
It's a whole different thing. We'll make it a thing sometime.
All right, we'll make it an episode. All right.
Oh, that's going to be an amazing episode. That's going to be like a Final Cut Pro X critique episode.
Versus Vegas, versus Avid, versus Premiere.
Range of podcasts for that, but anyway.
Versus whatever it's called, Lightwave? Light Studio?
Lightwave. Well, not Lightwave. No, see, I should know this.
Yeah, it's horrible. I tried it out.
Guys, we're slipping into that podcast.
Yeah,
podcast. I think you know the standing ovation was really interesting. I think the beginning when Steve Jobs comes out, you know, Steve Jobs is a bit of a special character. And I think you know everyone you know we all know that he's been a bit sick, and he's currently on medical leave. And you know he doesn't look robust, and he's been such an amazing character. For the Mac and for Apple, that I think, you know, I think any audience would possibly give him a standing ovation. You know, he just kind of deserves that. The for the products, it's really interesting because you know I'm like you. I find you know I'm not kind of there clapping enthusiastically with this look of rapture on my face, you know, wanting to be filmed, going, oh my god, this is amazing. You know, this has totally changed my life. I'm trying to remember how it all ended this morning. But you know, it was a pretty impressive, you know, smorgasbord of changes. And I don't know if you saw all of the line changes. I think, you know, whenever you see one of these things, you know, especially you're at a development conference, a lot of the stuff in the keynote is for users. And you know, I'm a big Mac user and a big iPhone user. So when I see a bunch of these things that are going to benefit users, I get really excited. And I think about you know the gestures and the launch pad. You know, when I first heard about launch pad on Lion, I thought, you know, I don't need an application launcher. You know, that's just going to be rubbish. But watching and full screen apps, I didn't get it. Watching the gestures and just how easily you kind of move in between these full screen experiences and the you know multi window experiences and then gesture to go up into launch all of your apps, it feels so effortless that I really like it. You know, I love being able to just do gestures to do things. I find gestures really opaque, so they're really hard to learn. But once you kind of know how to do them, you kind of feel like you're flying. And I'm really excited by what all of those sorts of things that I saw online. Definitely enough to give a few claps. And I did stand at the end, but I think maybe I stood at the end because it was Steve again.
Yeah. I understand that, and I mean he does seem pretty fragile. He seems a bit like Mr. Burns in the, you know, it's amazing. Yes. It's amazing that he's still around and probably still working pretty friggin' hard. And thanks, I think, exclusively to extremely skilled medical intervention. He's lucky to be rolling because I understand that it was a pancreatic cancer. I understand that they're usually inoperable. He is extremely lucky to have an operable pancreatic cancer, and even then, he's even with the operable ones, he's lucky to have survived it. I think he probably does deserve the ovation in that sense.
Totally. For him, I see it, but for it seems weird because it does seem to. Why not? It seems to.
Oh my God! There's a new API.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but it is. But if you look at all of those things, and you're remembering that this is a developer conference, what Apple with their APIs is saying, you know, look what we've done. We've made this whole new genre of things easy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a joke. Like the things. So you know, from last year. From you know iOS 4, which is now obviously we can talk about the you know they added AV Foundation, which is you know audio visual stuff. which is basically a set of APIs to build iMovie-like applications.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
So if you're going to start building a video editing application, you've suddenly got a high-level API for reading and manipulating and joining and you know, transforming video. You know, and so you take that and say, okay, that's one of these frameworks. And you know, in iOS 4, I can't remember how many new frameworks they introduced, but you know, you probably couldn't have counted them on one hand. Like, it might be 10, or it may even be more. You know, when you look at that, and so you're in a room telling a bunch of developers, look what we've done. We've given you this. We've given you this. We've given you that. We've given you that. Then all these developers are sitting there, you know, their minds racing of the, you know, the next killer app that they could make. You know, that.
Yeah, that sort of makes sense. I think that probably happens at the Microsoft, you know, the ones where whatever his name is, Steve Ballmer, comes out and shouts developers for a while. Probably the same sort of vibe.
Have you considered... Oh, I probably
I
shouldn't even ask.
I was quite there was going to be a developers moment with Phil Schillerkin.
I probably shouldn't even ask if you're considering making...
You watch the keynote again. You watch when he comes out, and there is a moment there where it's like a point of inflection where I thought, this is going to go terribly, terribly wrong.
There's nothing wrong about developers. That's all right.
I do not agree.
Morgan, how do I hang up on Dylan?
You can't.
I can hang up on him.
Don't hang.
So it's clear to the listeners that I guess we're going to have to start a new part two. This is going to be 2.03B. I think that's what this is. This is going to be. We'll release this as a second episode in the same week. I
still think it's Discourse 5.0.
More features.
Yeah,
I like your thinking.
We've got notifications now.
All right, let's wrap this up. Carl, it's been really great talking to you. I hope you can get a bit of sleep. You are cracking, though, dude, considering it is so late there. And actually, it's starting to get a little bit late here. You are absolutely cracking. So I can tell that the energy there must be in the air, and you must be just drinking it up. Or is that ethanol?
What? Drinking what? No, I just ate half a plate of buffalo wings. Buffalo wings.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
They're delicious. Room service. I got to think about whether to order breakfast. There's a thing, like last night I discovered this thing, and it's like you just hang it on the outside of your door. Like I hang it up there. Oh, actually, I'm a bit late to hang it up there now.
And you take it.
And they just bring you breakfast. Yeah. And it worked.
I just have buffalo wings again, brother.
For breakfast? Are you crazy? I actually ordered a spicy tomato juice the other day because I was like, yeah, I mean, I like tomato juice, and I'm round about, so it was spicy tomato juice. And what came back was like chili sauce with chunks of garlic the size of my fingernail. they must have seen me trying to drink it because they just said, no, the drink's on the house.
I wonder what you would have... Would you have had to ask for a Virgin Mary or something?
I think it was a bartender bet that was going on there.
Yeah, just apparently because of the, you know, because of the Mexicans, you don't ask for anything spicy unless you mean it.
Right.
Nice one. Have a lovely sleep, Carl.
Thank you for joining us, Carl. It's been really lovely talking to you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, gentlemen.
Night, night.
You're listening to the Weekly Show on Discourse.
Thank you again, Dylan.
Yeah,
thanks, Dylan.
Go and kiss your kids. And thank you once again, Ben. Do the same. Press stop. Now.
You're listening to the Weekly Show on with course.
Right, we're using that one.